And it's neat because when you come to the Lord, He wants to hear from your heart. He doesn't want you to write down your prayers and then read them out to Him. But He wants you to come to Him and express your feelings, your emotions, and your heart to Him.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Raul has walked in relationship with God for 50 years, and he knows he can always be honest in his prayers. He's learned to trust that the Lord hears him and cares about what's on his mind. For a free DVD of Raul's encouraging testimony, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165. We're glad you've joined us today for Raul's new series centered on walking with God in genuine faith and trust. We'll begin with encouragement to prioritize daily time with the Lord, filling our spirits with His truth and strengthening our hearts with His love. As you stay with us here on Somebody Loves You Radio, you'll also see that you can count on God to respond every time you call on Him. In times of trouble or confusion, He draws near to walk with you. In Psalm 3, here's Raul Reese with the lesson, Trusting in God.
The first thing you come to is that Psalm 3 is the first psalm in the whole Bible that has a title. Psalm 1, Psalm 2 have no titles at all. But Psalm 3 begins with a title, and the title literally is this, The Lord Helps His Troubled People. The title is actually, David is the writer, and he's writing about his experiences that he had with his son Absalom. Absalom was actually his eldest son, and Absalom had created a lot of problems for David. And as a matter of fact, David ended up running away from his own son as his own son robbed the heart of the people away from his dad. He betrayed his dad. But we'll talk about Absalom a little more in a couple of moments. There is no reason not to believe that Psalm 3 describes David's sentiments towards his own son Absalom. I mean, how would you feel if you were the writer to Psalm 3, knowing that your own son, flesh and blood, betrays you and wants to kill you and has no mercy over your life? This is what David is facing in Psalm 3. Major, major problems here in the life of David. We'll go back a little bit and look at all the problems that begin in the life of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, 12, and so on into chapter 15 and 16 and 17. Incredible psalm that David writes here, and he's actually sharing his heart. But also in this psalm, we find the first time that the word in the Psalms is used, the word salat. The word salat is literally used three times in Psalm 3. And then it is used about 75 other times in the Psalms. And what it does, it literally, there's been many people describing the word salat in Hebrew. It literally means a time or a pause. That is, before we begin to read the next verse, there's a time of pause and meditation. Psalm 3 also falls into the category of trouble and trust psalms. It is one of the shortest psalms that we have out of 150 psalms. The term psalm is the title mizmor in Hebrew. It is a word found in the title of the psalms about 57 times. Also, Psalm 3 and 4 are not only closely related, since Psalm 3 is a morning prayer and Psalm 4 becomes an evening prayer. And Psalm 4 also deals with the same subject, David and Absalom. So it seems that David wrote Psalm 3 in the morning and Psalm 4 in the evening. as he was thinking of all his troubles that he was going to face and he was facing even at this particular time. In this Psalm 3, the psalmist expresses his supreme faith in God. You can see that as he writes. Dr. Ironside has written many, many commentaries, and he shares a little bit of insight into the psalm. He says this, quoting from Dr. Ironside, David was fleeing from Absalom, and he was not only wandering in the wilderness while his foes were seeking him, yet David tells us in this psalm how he was able to hand his case over to God. It is a great thing to be able to do that, to say, it is not my question, it is not my ability to weather this trouble, my ability to overcome my enemies, but I am putting this whole thing into the hands of God, and he stands between me and my foe and my troubles. I think what Dr. Ironside was trying to share with us in his commentary to the Psalms is that as believers, we really need to put our full dependency on God. When you really put your faith in God and you're having situations and problems, you don't say, I put my trust in God. And the moment you leave, you begin to worry about them again. That's not trust. When you really fully put your trust in God, there is peace of mind. Even though the problem is in your presence, and you put your trust in God, you can actually foresee the hand of God, that God is going to take care of it, not in my time, but in his time. And so as we look at this great Psalm 3, we begin to see David writing as he has many problems. Let's begin by reading Psalm 3, then I'll give you the scriptural background to this psalm. He says, the Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. My glory and the one who lifts up my head, I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill, Selah. I lay down and I slept. I woke up, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God. For you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone, and you have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessings is upon your people, Selah. Notice how the psalm begins. Actually, the psalms begins with the cry of David. David crying out with all his heart to God. He cries out and he calls upon the name of the Lord. The word Jehovah, L-O-R-D, capital L-O-R-D. This is not really a name of God, but a title of God. And what it literally means in the Hebrew, the name is Jehovah. It is used 6 times in Psalm 3, and 2 times the name Elohim is used for the name of God. And so we see that David has a personal relationship with his God as he makes this morning prayer before God. Let me say to you this evening, as we begin on this psalm, that it's really important that we spend time with God in the morning. As a matter of fact, when the Jews used to actually pray, when you go to Jerusalem today, the Orthodox Jews are still trying to keep the laws and the regulations from old times. And you actually see it in the Old Testament when Daniel was there in Babylon and he was actually being pressured by the king of Babylon to interpret a dream. It says of Daniel, the prophet, that he went up to his apartment house and he opened his window as he would face the east. The Jews always, whenever they were taken out of Jerusalem, and at this particular time they were taken in captivity to Babylon, wherever a Jew may be in New York City, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Chicago, or Central America or South America, Argentina, they will always, Orthodox Jews always will turn and face to the east to pray to God. Why? Because Jerusalem is towards the east. And that's why you see when you fly these LL airlines and you see these Orthodox Jews with long, actually long sideburns. And in the middle of the flight, they'll get up in the plane and they'll take their phylactery boxes on top of their foreheads. They tie them around their foreheads. They put the little cap on. And then they take this this leather thing that they have that they wrap actually 7 times or 8 times around their hand and to put it next to their heart. And they have their prayer book. And they go to the back of the plane. And in back of the plane, they begin to pray. And they have this kind of movement as they're praying in Hebrew repetitious prayers. They're facing the east. No matter if they're in a 747, they face the east toward Jerusalem to pray to God. I think it's important that we learn from the life of Jesus that Jesus was constantly in communion with the Father. Jesus was never too tired or too busy to pray. It seems that in our modern times, we have so much to do in one day that many times, like, you could actually see in what kind of society we pray or we live in. Everything today is instant. You know what I'm saying? Instant hamburgers, instant soup. I mean, it's amazing how people can operate and live, and yet God wants us to pause, to meditate on the things that we're actually communicating with Him. Jesus Christ, when He was ministering and had been working a lot of hours, He told His disciples, let's get away and let's go spend some time, let's get some R&R and spend some time with the Father. You read in the Gospels where Jesus would go sometimes up into a mountain and He would pray all night to the Father. All night would be in prayer. And then the next morning, early in the morning, the people would come to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus understood the importance of being in communion with His Father. If Jesus not only proclaimed to us the importance of prayer or communion, how much more then shall we make time in our day and in afternoons and in the evenings to pray to the Lord? That's why in the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus Christ is actually teaching prayer, go for a moment to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Beginning with verse 5. This is not the Lord's Prayer, especially verses 9 through 12 or 13, but this is actually a model prayer. If you really want to learn about prayer, then you need to study John 17. That's the Lord's Prayer. That whole chapter is Jesus teaching us how to really pray. Notice that He begins in chapter 6, beginning with verse 5. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you pray, now this is the right way to pray, but when you pray, go into your room and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions like the heathens use, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of even before you ask Him. Now, I remember when I was a child, when I was brought up as a Roman Catholic, when I would pray, they always would teach me to pray by repetition, repetitious prayers. And it's amazing that when you get saved and you find the Lord and you begin to read the scriptures and you begin to study and you begin to learn how to pray, that actually prayer is not repetitious, but prayer is communication. It's like when you get on one phone and the other person's on the other side of the phone. And you're communicating one to another. And it's neat because when you come to the Lord, He wants to hear from your heart. He doesn't want you to write down your prayers and then read them out to Him. But He wants you to come to Him and express your feelings, your emotions, and your heart to Him. And this is why Jesus, when He prayed, the disciples saw something in the life of Christ that they came to Jesus and they said, "Lord, we've been watching You, and can You teach us how to pray the way You pray?" And then the Lord said, "Okay, let me give you a little model on how you should pray." And then He gives it to them here in verse 9. He says, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name." You notice now, usually, if we don't know how to pray, and it's interesting when you hear people pray sometimes, that if we're not careful when we pray, we'll always pray selfishly. Lord, right as soon as we come to the throne of grace, "Lord, I want, I need. Thank You. Amen." I mean, that's the way it is most of the time. That's not fellowship. That's not visiting. When you visit somebody, you make yourself at home. You stay a while. You know what I'm saying? But many times as we're coming to God and we're saying, "Lord, I need, I want," and gotta go. "See you later. Amen." And we're gone. And here Jesus Christ is declaring that if you're going to commune with Him, He wants a personal relationship with you and with Him. You see, when I come to Him, the first thing that I have to establish is relationship. Our Father, which art in heaven. You see, I recognize the place of God's house, where He lives, where He dwells. And then I recognize that His name is holy. Secondly, notice verse 10. "Your kingdom come, Your will be done." And here, notice that the first petition that Jesus is teaching the disciples to pray about is the coming kingdom. And that the will of God will be done. Not my will, but His will be done. And then He says this in verse 11. "Then give us this day our daily bread." We don't even get into our own needs until we actually have been in fellowship with God the Father, and we've created this fellowship with Him, and we're worshiping and we're giving thanks and bringing glory and honor to His name. Not coming as strangers. That's the way God wants you to feel about you coming to Him. You don't have to feel like a stranger or like, "God, am I bothering You at this particular time? I know You're busy. You're only controlling the whole universe." But it's neat because even though He controls the whole universe, He has time for any one of us at any time. That is so awesome to know that no matter where I may be or where I may be, I can always call upon the name of the Lord. That is the heart of David too. You see, David has blown it. You'll see in a moment. He's blown it bad. And the devil is probably kicking him, bringing condemnation to him, because now not only is he asking God, but his own son has turned against him, and his son now wants to kill David. And he's actually trying to steal the kingdom from David that God had given to King David. And so here we're learning about relationship in our crying to God. And then he talks about giving daily bread, and then again forgiving our debts and forgiving our debtors, and not leading us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then, "For Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever." And then verse 14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, Your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will Your Father forgive you your trespasses." Notice the importance of prayer. Building relationship. Personal needs. Then praying for the will of God. Praying for forgiveness of others. And then overcoming temptation. And lastly, forgiveness of my sins, but also forgiving of other people in whatever they have said or done against me, that I have a right heart before God taking care of my heart, not having anything against another person, but making sure that I am right with God so that my prayers can be not only accepted, but that I can be truly forgiven. That's what he teaches. Go back now to Psalm 3. I'll show you something else here. You notice that the psalmist here, David, begins immediately with the name of God, Lord Jehovah. And his cry or complaint to God is that how they, who are they, have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who are saying of me, there is no help for him in God, Selah. Did you know that if people know your background or they know your life, they can use that as a weapon against you? You have to be so careful when you come to Jesus Christ and people know you from the past, because if they're not believers, those people do not believe you've had a change, but they will try to use that against you to discredit your Christianity. You see, David at this particular time recognized that the name of God was holy. And I've shared with you other times that when the priest or the scribe was writing the name of God in the Old Testament, he would actually take the name of God and he would write it. And the moment the name of God was written, for example, in Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter, 31 times the name of God is used, Elohim. And so every time the name of God was used, I would have to get up from my table, go over to the right side in my dressing room, take off the garments that I had on my body, go over, wash the pen, and take a new pen, and then take a bath, put on clean clothes, and then come back, and then write again the name of God. Every time I wrote the name of God, because the name of God was so holy that the name of God was not to be pronounced every time you came to the name of God. In the beginning, created the heavens and the earth. That's what they would do. Never once mention the name of God, because it was so holy. But imagine how laborious it is to write the name of God 31 times, 31 baths in chapter 1 of Genesis, the scribe had to take upon himself just in one chapter, when the name of God is written over 2,500 times in the whole Old Testament. Think of what God has given to us when we think of the name, the Lord, Jehovah God, Elohim. David speaks with confidence. He speaks with relationship. He puts God first. You see, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We notice that here in David's cry in chapter 3, verse 1 of the psalm, we notice that the majority of the people that are coming against him are without God. And these people that are coming against him in verse 1 are bitter people against the life of David. And we know, because of the background to the psalm, that it was his son and Shimei and others that were against David that had gathered themselves with his son Absalom.
We hope you've been comforted by today's assurance that God's presence is always with the believer, and through Jesus' intercession for us, our prayers are always heard. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review today's lesson, we'll be glad to send you an unedited copy for a donation of $5 or more. Simply call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching titled, Trusting in God. For further encouragement to seek the Lord with hope and faith, we'd like to tell you about an uplifting new resource from Rawl, simply titled Trust. This four-message series is available on your choice of CD or MP3 thumb drive. With foundational insights into the heart of God and His gifts of forgiveness and salvation, you'll see that you can be absolutely confident in surrendering your life to His care. Contact us today to order this new four-message trust series for a gift of $18.95 or more. Visit us online at somebodylovesyou.com or call 800-634-9165 and ask for the collection on either CD or an MP3 flash drive. Our number once again is 800-634-9165. To order this resource by writing us, our mailing address is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We hope you'll take advantage of all of our free Somebody Loves You resources as well. Be sure to join Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk. It's a Q&A program that provides biblical wisdom you can practically apply to your life. Don't forget, our goal here at Somebody Loves You Radio is to help you stand in the hope of God's Word, and we welcome your thoughts on how we can best serve you. We're also here to support you with prayer as well, so if you have any needs weighing on your heart, please let us know about them when you contact us. This ministry is made possible because of your continued partnership. Every gift you give is tax deductible, and your generosity helps keep us on the air. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll get more from this series as we continue to explore David's spiritual journey and think about the faith he displayed in times of trouble. We'll get a challenge to grow in our own trust of the Lord.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.